Welcome to the Weekend Hour with Pat Williams on FM 96.5 News Talk WDBO. Now here's your host, Pat Williams.
Welcome once again to the Weekend Hour. We always look forward to doing this on News Talk WDBO. Jake Chapman engineers our show each week. Andrew Hurdliska is the producer. And Doug Lipp is with me in this first half hour. He is the author of a book called Disney U, How Disney University Develops the World's Most Engaged, Loyal, and Customer-Centric Employees. McGraw-Hill is the publisher. Doug, it's so nice of you to join me. I hope you're doing well.
Pat, thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Doug helped create the first international version of the Disney University in Japan at Tokyo Disneyland, then led the training team of the Disney University at the corporate headquarters of the Walt Disney Company. Doug, what is Disney U all about?
Well, Pat, Disney U is really the vehicle that Walt Disney wanted to have started at the company that would populate the parks that he so meticulously designed and the Imagineers created. And he realized that unless you had it populated with people who cared about customers, then it was a balance that couldn't be met. So it was world-class facilities populated with people who gave world-class service, and the university is the vehicle that creates those teams of people.
Your book is broken down into lessons. There are 13 lessons. Let's see how many we can cover, Doug. Lesson number one: setting the stage for success, the four circumstances of the Disney University. What are you teaching us there?
Well, Van France is the founder of the university, and he was hired directly by Walt Disney to create this vehicle. And one of the things that Van talked about over, and he was one of my mentors, was the four circumstances that are really values that any organization has to have the values in place. And quite frankly, a lot of companies spend a whole lot of money creating the training and development division. They call them universities, but quite frankly, many aren't much more than university in name only. And the four values, Pat, are innovate, support, educate, and entertain. And leaders must be risk. They can't be afraid of risk. They have to innovate. The support comes from, you have to have unabashed, wild support from leaders to support educational functions in a team. Education must be woven into the culture of any organization, and you got to have fun while you're doing it. In fact, Walt Disney is a great example. There's a quote that I have on the jacket of the book, and it's one of my favorite that I ever had at the company, is quote, "When the subject permits, we let fly with all the satire and gags at our command. Laughter is no enemy to learning." Walt Disney created this environment, Pat, of educate and entertain at the same time. And these four circumstances are what Van France identified as the key to the longevity of the Disney University.
Lesson number two, capture hearts and minds. It's more than Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
Well, one of the things that I often hear from people is, if I had the staff of the Disney, or if I had all the pictures of Academy Award-winning pictures or Broadway Award-winning musicals, I would have no problem getting people into training. And quite frankly, yes, that does help, but really the university and the training, it captures people's hearts and minds. And the example is that everybody goes through training at the Disney University, leaders to frontline employees. And when I would have my staff members, my cast members go through university, and sitting next to a 16-year-old operator is a vice president of operations, they would look and say, "Wow, you guys really do mean what you say." Or likewise, Pat, when we would spend 8 hours talking about teamwork and everybody picks up trash, and then I lead my new hires into the park for an onstage tour during business hours, and they see many, many, many cast members picking up trash who aren't custodians, executives going to and from meetings, cast members going to and from a break, they believe it, they buy into it. So it's a lot more than just great programs. It's everybody doing what they say they're going to do.
Lesson number three you teach us, it takes art and science. The attractions don't break down, and Snow White never has a bad day.
Well, really, it's kind of what I alluded to earlier, is Walt Disney knew it was important to have the the facilities in place, but also you had to populate it with people who were friendly. And the story that we would share in Disney University is if moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas bring their kids into this world-class environment that's crystal clear, brilliantly clean, and the rides are running, but if they walk up to Snow White and ask her for an autograph and she snaps at them and says, "Get out of my way, I'm busy," that's not really a good thing to have. And all too many times I see in organizations that put all their eggs either in the technology basket, so they've got a great product, but they have snarly employees, or the other side is they have really friendly employees, but product is not up to par or breaks down. Either of those ends of that continuum aren't good. So the rides that are up and running and Snow White has a good day, that's an unbeatable combination.
And then we get to lesson number 4, gather facts and feelings, walk the park.
Well, this is something that Walt Disney started, and again, Dan France, the founder of the university, continued. And the example that I share in the book is that Walt would always walk the park and interact with cast members and ask them what they thought. Van France would always walk the park with a camera in hand, even if he didn't have film in it, because it was a great bridge with which to interact with customers, employees, cast members, etc. And the idea is that as soon as you get to the front lines, you see things that others don't. Walt Disney interacted with one of the cast members who became the director of the Disney University, and he was asking him, "As an 18-year-old cast member, you work on the Skyway. What do you think we should do to improve this ride?" Here is the founder of the company asking an 18-year-old what he thinks could be done to improve the Skyway. And the guy said, "I think you should raise the roof on the gondola. Guests bump their heads into it too much." And lo and behold, when they redid the Skyway, that was improved. And my message that I portray in the book is, with my clients oftentimes, Pat, I'll say, if Walt Disney, the leader of a world famous organization and a multinational corporation, could take time to literally walk into the front lines, why can't all of us?
Lesson number 5, be willing to change or be willing to perish, the birth of Disney University.
Well, the training function started at Disneyland 7 years after. Disney University started 7 years after the start of the park, even though Van France and Walt Disney and some others started training in 1955 when the park at Disneyland, California opened. But Van realized that the training was getting kind of long in the tooth. And he was the first one to come in and say, "Let's mix things up a little bit." And one of the things that he learned from Walt Disney, and one of the things that I heard from one of the guys that I interviewed for this book, Marty Sklar, who was the chairman of Imagineering, is that Walt Disney always had one foot in the past and he had one foot in the future. So yes, you have traditional approaches, you have legacy, you have history, but by golly, you've got to be willing to change to make sure that current and future markets are met.
And now we move to lesson number 6. Simplify the complex.
Well, a theme park is like a small city. You've got operations, you've got heavy equipment moving around, you've got thousands of people, both as employees and guests, milling about, and it can be a very complicated and somewhat dangerous place. And one of the things that Van France and a man named Dick Nunes, who was his very first employee, who went on to become the chairman of the operations group at Disneyland and Disney World, was to take this whole huge, metaphorically, this pot of soup that's this complex environment of the theme park and boil it down into a bouillon cube that's manageable and handleable. And they took the operations and boiled it down into 4 operating principles: safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. So really, all of our cast members, in fact, to this day, cast members at Disney World, Disneyland, theaters, every place around the world, including cruise ships, know that priority number one is safety for customers and employees. And then comes courtesy. Are you friendly? Do you guide people with an open hand? And then comes show. Is the place clean? Is your costume, is your uniform clean? And then the final step is efficiency. How many people are you getting through the system? Everybody knows this. Without having to carry around a pocket card or a 15,000-page HR handbook that says, what are our priorities? Safety, courtesy, show, efficiency. And the Disney organization felt then and feels today that if you take care of the safety and the courtesy and the show, then the numbers of people, loyal customers and loyal employees, will continue to show up.
My guest is Doug Lipp. He is the author of Disney U, How Disney University Develops the World's Most Engaged, Loyal, and customer-centric employees. McGraw-Hill is the publisher. Let's get to lesson number 7, Doug. The honeymoon will end. Cinderella Castle and culture change.
Yes, after Disney World opened in 1971, there was a tremendous drop-off in energy. People got burned out with the pre-opening, as can happen with any organization that's ramping up to start a new product or to launch a new product. And one of the things that the Disney University director at the time in Walt Disney World and this man I mentioned earlier, Dick Nunes, realized was important was we have to have a symbol of our company that will gather the troops back together again. And even though there was an 83% turnover of employees at Disney World, the company went after this challenge and literally used Cinderella Castle in the middle of the Magic Kingdom at Disney World as a backdrop for meetings with vice presidents and directors of the company to basically say, let's ascend to the top of this castle. Let's have our meetings because, you know what, this place is burning down around us right now. And by golly, we better get our act together and wrap our arms around this problem. So the challenge that I bring up in Disney U and in this chapter is all companies have symbols, whether it's a phrase, whether it's a product, whether it's a tagline. And are they truly using that symbol enough to keep the brand alive?
Lesson number 8, keep plussing the show. No room for excuses.
Well, in this day and age of economic swings, from economic booms to economic busts, I oftentimes hear clients of mine talking about, gosh, these boom times, we're making a lot of money and our employees are leaving in droves because people are waving a few extra dollars at them. So I can't hold on to employees. Therefore, why should I train them? Likewise, on the other end of that continuum are the economic busts, when people are not able to get jobs or you're not able to hire people and you don't have the money to train people. And so a lot of executives will say, well, gosh, I'm not going to hire new people, or I can't hold on to my staff. I'm going to lay them off anyhow. Why should I train them? And one of the things that Van France, the founder of the university, channeled with the Disney University and that he learned from Walt Disney what is that we have to keep plussing our show. If we ever lose the guests, it'll take us 10 years to get them back. And an example of this was simply on Jungle Cruise. Walt Disney rode the Jungle Cruise in the early 60s and was upset that the skippers, the pilots on the boats, weren't as enthusiastic as they should be. And he said, you know what, we've spent millions of dollars creating this system, these boats, these rides, these audio animatronic figures, but if we have surly or indifferent skippers on the boats who don't act surprised when the hippos jump out of the water, that's not sending a good message to our guests. And this costs nothing. So oftentimes I see training programs that are thrown away because either leadership doesn't support them or they don't have the energy to pursue them. And Walt was the one who said, even the smallest things matter, and training doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be sexy, doesn't have to be expensive. But again, what little things do people do in their teams to continually plus the show, whether it's the hardware or whether it's the software?
Doug Lipp, our guest, more after this on News Talk WDBO in Orlando. I'm Pat Williams.